You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got your troubles. I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together. We see it through. You got a friend in me.
There he is. The red carpet screening last night for Toy Story 5 was happening as, boy, Tom Hanks really looked old, didn't he?
Did you see it? I didn't see it. Did he look old?
I was like, damn, Tom, looking older and frail, and then T-Swift looking adorable in the white dress and then performing her new song and then doing the collab with Randy Newman.
That's great, yeah.
Yes, Randy's still sounding great. Randy's Tim Allen awesome. Looked old, too.
Yeah, Tim Allen's getting up there, yeah, man. Sad. How old is Tom Hanks these days?
71.
Is he really?
I don't know. Oh. That's just my guess.
Okay, I was going to say 65, but I don't know.
69.
69. Michael J. Nice. Fox just turned 65 yesterday, so I was thinking kind of around that same.
Gotcha.
That's why 65 or whatever was on my mind
Toss
for that.
Power but, trap.
Yep. Tim Allen, exactly. Yeah. 72.
72 years old. And Tim Allen, right, he's led a rough life, man. I mean, really rough life. So the fact that he looks rough at 72 years old, I'm not surprised.
Singing like a swan. Yeah. Look at that story. You know that story, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, caught with like a kilo of cocaine and just ratted everybody out to avoid jail time. Yeah. Everybody got ratted out. Tim Allen, Home Improvement.
Yep, there you go.
From kilos of snow to the Santa Claus.
Great movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
The third one's kind of scary, but yeah, the first two are fantastic.
I mean, you're a rat, man. You don't be a rat, get you kicked out of cities and whatnot, right? So you don't want to be a rat, Tim Allen. Rat.
So Jack Caglione last night, fellas. I know that I've always been the advocate of this is the superstar. This is exactly why I wasn't super upset that they didn't get a right field bat, because this is what they trusted. And one thing that I think you, Bob, have said on the other side and what Vern said on Monday was, I really like what he's shown us in right field. He looks comfortable. Yeah. He obviously had a little bad play last night. It was kind of like a weird hop. I'm not gonna, you know, scar him for that. But he hits two home runs last night. And I think the most impressive at bat he had last night had no contact, which was his first at bat. He got an 11 pitch walk, laid off all the junk. And that is enough evidence for me to know that this kid has arrived. And yes, the home runs are fun. Chicks dig the long ball. Dustman digs the long ball. It's awesome to see your future put one in the tank in the fountains in back-to-back at-bats and really kind of show the power that he has. But this is exactly why the team gambled. And sometimes you say gambles don't always work out, but they believed in his production right field would have an uptick. They believed the bat would come around. And Jack Caglione in his last five games, fellas, has 8 hits, right? 2 of which left the yard last night. He has 4 RBI in those games and 3 walks. The kid is absolutely seeing the ball better. We saw this with his progression in the minor leagues. Every time he'd go up a level, it was like the first, of course, the minor leagues are not the major leagues. We all know that. It's obvious. But it was like the first couple of games or a week or so, it was like, oh, he's striking out, he's popping up. And then all of a sudden it was tanker after tanker after tanker. And it's like, well, now they have a problem because he's not going to get any better by staying in a league where he's better than. And then he had the slow start to his, you know, professional career. Like we've seen all other people do that.
Happens,
Judge
yeah.
had a slow start. Trout had a slow start. And some guys hit the ground running, right? Like Nick Kurtz, he's going to be him, dude. Like mm-hmm. And now that he's playing that launching pad in Vegas, it's going to get even better because he's now hit a home run, I believe, in 3 or 4 consecutive games, 2 the other night, 1 last night. But Caglione, man, like that was a game last night where I saw comfortability. I saw a good sort of arrogance. And then they bring in a left-handed reliever. And that was the second home run he hit, was off a left-handed reliever. Uh-huh. And now the best thing you can do is now you've given your team, your manager, your general manager, everybody involved, zero excuses not to have you out there every day because A, your defense is great. your bat might have just absolutely woken up. He's been hot of lately, and his numbers on the season are just going to continue to get more impressive. He's now got a .261 batting average. He's got 8 home runs on the season. 52 of those hits are 8 home runs. He's got an OPB of .338, a slug of .442, and an OPS of .780, and his WAR is now 1.1. So the uptick is happening. The comfortability is there, and something has changed. We'll have Matt Cotrero on the show today at 9 o'clock, and we get to talk to the manager about Jack Caglio, among other things. But this is what you needed to see. You needed to see Vinny start to hit the ball. He's been into his zone lately. Caglione, he's got the confidence. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be Bobby. Now, there was a little bit of a disappointment last night with Kyle Isbell with the plantar fascia. But then again, people want to have these smart-ass jokes of like, oh, Cags will get benched tonight. No, he won't.
No, stop. Stop.
Not only that, now you're going to see him every day because Kyle Isbell's not going to be in center field. So you're probably going to see a little bit more of Marte. You're probably going to see a lot more of Lane Thomas, which you should want to see that because if you want to move him at the deadline, Lane Thomas is going to need to see those playing times. But all in all, last night, I hope a lot of you that watched that Royals game had a smile on your face because that's the Cags that was promised. Now, I'm not saying every game he's going to hit 2 home runs, but that confidence, that swagger, that sort of arrogance that he can have, which is not all arrogance is bad as long as you can control it, but like seeing him see the ball the way he did last night and the way that he's seen it in the last 4 to 5 games lets me know that he's arrived.
Well, he has arrived. And for people who are saying, you know, the comments of he's probably going to be out of the lineup, you know, tonight because he did so well yesterday, I'm really sad that we're at this point, though, with this organization where that's the feeling of fans. When you see a player do good, your immediate thought is how are they going to mess it up and not put him back in the lineup? And I really do think that's a sad way to look at it. But the organization is created that, and that's why the fans think that way, right? It's not our thoughts that are wrong. It's the evidence that we've seen that creates these thoughts to which we say these things to. And so hopefully for the fans' sake, Jack Caglione never sits again, and nor should he ever sit again this season, unless you want to have a day off, right? A day off here, fine. I get all that. Everybody deserves a day off. You need a day off every once in a while. But he needs to be the regular day, you know, right fielder, regardless of who's pitching that night. Like when you wake up in the morning, if you're Q and you want to keep him at number 5 or whatever you want to do with Jack Caglione in the order, he's the name you write it. You got Witt at number 2. You got Cags where he is, and then let the lineup fill in everywhere else that it needs to be. Because again, as we've talked about, this is a lost season from a team aspect, but from an individual aspect, you can still have a lot of positive results with this. And the biggest positive result is allowing Jack Caglione to play every day. You're not playing for the playoffs anymore. And they have to stop thinking that way at this point in time, because if they continue to think like they're a playoff team and they can be a competitive team, they're going to miss out on the opportunity to use this time now to truly develop a guy like Jack Caglione and just let him go out there and play with no pressure whatsoever. Don't give him analytics. Don't give him anything. Just say, Jack, go play baseball for the rest of the year and let's see what happens. Because right now that kid is playing great. He deserves to play every single day, and he is, and he deserves to be in the lineup every day against lefties, and he was last night, and that was a great thing, but it needs to continue because, again, in a lost season where you're not playing for anything, you can still play for a lot. And Jack Caglione, at the end of the season, if he's close to 30 home runs and, you know, 85 driven in and he's hitting .260, you won the season because now you know you've got a legitimate star that you can rely on in right field, and that solves a major issue for this organization moving forward, you know?
And if playing like this does get you back into the playoff contention, then great, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
But the goal right now, to your point, and I agree, is, yeah, playing for the future. And the future is clearly Bobby Witt Jr., Jack Caglione, and then let's see what we've got left in Carter Jensen.
Right.
And this should not deter anyone, and I hope it doesn't. 6 out of 8. I love the way this team's playing. It's really fun. But it should not deter anyone from when we talk about trade conversations and selling pieces again.
Right.
Thinking about the future. If we're under .500 at the end of the season, miss the playoffs, which is still more than likely the end case scenario, that's okay. If we're also saying, man, we have a future all-star and a stud at a 23-year-old Jack Caglione, and we've got the future at the catcher position, Carter Jensen. And oh yeah, we may have the AL MVP in Bobby Witt Jr. That is still a really big positive season, and maybe the record isn't.
Right. The record probably won't be, but if Jack Caglione develops and you can look at that guy and everybody in baseball looks at that guy and puts him in the category with, you know, an Aaron Judge and power hitters in baseball where he becomes a household name, you've won the year. And that's what they've needed, because this organization, it's like the Chiefs. When was the last time, other than Tyreek Hill, who the hell have they developed develop the wide receiver. It's the same thing with the Royals. We've been looking for a corner outfield bat for generations here in Kansas City, and we may finally have stumbled upon that guy, and we got to let him play every single day. And if we leave this season knowing that he's a mainstay for the next five, six, however long it is, out in right field, it's a huge win for the organization.
The Royals could have a potential starter in the All-Star game, as Bobby Witt Jr. has never started at shortstop during All-Star game. So go vote Bobby, and then why not have Jack in the Home Run Derby?
Yes, that would be awesome.
I mean, the Home Run Derby put Bobby Witt Jr. kind of on the map when he did it, and Jack doesn't have to make the All-Star game to be the Home Run Derby. I just want to see the biggest dudes hit the biggest bombs in Home Run Derby. Put Nick Kurtz, put Jack Caglione, put
the entire A's team in there and put it in Las Vegas. That's where the Home Run Derby needs to be.
Just a separate event.
Yes.
Because, I mean, could you imagine that as like three members of the AL? If it's Cags, Murakami, and Kurtz in the Home Run Derby, and then you could throw a Dirk Diggler in there as well. Dylan Dingler, I guess, is his real name in Detroit. He's all of a sudden got 16, put Ben Rice in there.
Yeah, Ben Rice in
there.
That's
the future of the power hitters in the AL.
Yeah, that's a crazy lineup.
That's something I want to see and something I want to hear is one word.
You mentioned, go ahead with one word. I was going to say the A's. We were talking about the A's and five more last night. I mean,
one word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
That's right. It's One Word time, and it's brought to you by Maloney's, the Sand Trap, and The Landing. Three great local spots that have delicious food, cold drinks, and TVs galore to watch your favorite sports teams. Game four tonight in the NBA.
Yes.
Stanley Cup Finals have been electric. 2-2 in that series as well. But you can watch all those games, and you can also enjoy the outdoor patio seating at all three locations. And today at Maloney's, the Italian chop salad. Mm. 99 degree temperature feel outside.
Smash.
Not sure
what's
better.
What it's supposed to be today?
It was 96 yesterday. Luckily, I've got a friend that has a pool and says, what are you doing? I said, sitting in my house. He goes, you ought to be in my pool. I said, well, invite be nice. See you in five. He said, all right.
Invite be nice.
But you can get the Italian chop salad at Maloney's on a Wednesday. Romaine lettuce tossed with Italian dressing, topped with salami, cucumber, cherry tomatoes, red onions, chickpeas, Kalamata olives, pepperoncini, and Parmesan cheese. You can get all that for $17 and get your fill. Also, any drink special that they offer at Maloney's during the week is available all day. It's a great deal. Get to Maloney's chop salad, 17 bones, and all drink specials throughout the week are available tonight on a Wednesday.
You mentioned it. Game four tonight. One word.
Wimby.
Cat. Cat is the one word that I use.
I like it.
It all depends on Cat. He's the difference maker. If he goes, the Knicks go. If he doesn't go, the Knicks don't go. If he has four or more assists, the Knicks are 13-1 in the playoffs, guys. Mm. So to me, my one word is Cat. It's all about him tonight, getting him going.
Yeah, I'd say it's Wimby. You could say it's Brunson. You know, he hasn't been as advertised since game one when he was clutch in the fourth quarter.
Very clutch.
Since then, the numbers are a little murky, even though it's a small sample size. But we know that sample size goes out the window when the sample size of the finals is so big. You gotta show up. And it's 2-1. And from talking about parades and bus routes and
Glad we didn't book the tickets.
In the concrete jungle out there in New York, you lose tonight, it might be an overreaction. San Antonio ain't losing this series.
They'll be favored.
Oh, they 100%. Should be, yeah, going
they
back to San Antonio
game
with two
in,
home
game
games.
Seven.
But your favorite, you say that, but if San Antonio wins tonight, home team hasn't won yet.
Yeah. Which is wild, but again.
Which would never have happened. If that happens tonight, first time in history.
Is it really the first time in history?
Yes.
That would be crazy. Wow.
Yeah, we're only at one other time, and it was 1993.
I wonder what that line would be. Because were the Knicks only favored by 1.5 on Monday?
No, it was more than that, right?
I thought it was just 1.5.
Wow.
I could be wrong. But if they split this series 2-2 and go back to San Antonio, is it higher than 3.5?
No, I don't think so. Because if you think about it, it's been 1-point game, 3-point game. In the first game, even though it was a 10-point ending final score, it was a tie ball game with 2 minutes to go. Mm. This series has been awesome.
It's been a great series.
Awesome.
It's been a fantastic series. And so I do think the Knicks win tonight. I think they got over all of whatever went on Monday.
Yeah, no
Tuesday.
Special guests tonight.
Like, but still, there's still, you know, it's still a lot of security around the Garden. It's still going to be a mess, I think, for a lot of fans to try to get in. But I think that game on Monday night, that was just an overwhelming. I even talked to our old PD down here, Alan, who is the head of KMBZ. He grew up outside of New York, like exactly where I did. And I went into his office yesterday. I go, have you ever seen New York City crippled like it was on Monday? He goes, I've never seen anything like that. He's in his 70s. And I'm like, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one who's feeling that. Because that whole city was crippled. I think it's going to be a different environment tonight at Madison Square Garden. I think the Knicks win this one.
From Game 4 in NBA to how about tonight, KC Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
In Game 3, they are up 2-0 is what I was just
making
sure.
They've been dominant, man.
Yes, up 2-0. And Game 3 tonight in the Kelly Cup Finals. One word.
Ice. Go ice this thing out. Go up 3-0 right now. Let's go. Put the, what are they, the Florida Everblades?
Great name.
Great name.
Bad team.
they're in the finals.
Yeah, but they're not the Mavs, Bob.
Exactly.
My one word is cowbell.
Yep,
bring it. Annoy your spouse tonight if you can watch it. Just ring that sucker all night in the living room because you got Royals at 6:40, 7:30 is the finals. Mavs play at 7.
Hello, America.
Yeah, go get the Kelly Cup, man. Go be a positive force in this city. What's their parade? Nolan Road?
I was just going to think, probably Nolan Road or just around the Red Robin down there, circle through the Costco parking lot.
Hell, that'd take you an hour.
Wanya Morris and the Chiefs have agreed to explore a trade. One word.
Fine. I mean, yeah, he's not playing, obviously, here. He's been told. Trade me, then. Get a fifth-round, sixth-round draft pick back in return. That's probably what you get.
Yeah, my one word is to kind of take away from what Matt Derrick had on Twitter yesterday is advantage. He has all the starting experience you need. I mean, the guy's been in the trenches. He has experience. You have, I don't know if you have like enough bodies on the offensive line, but it would appear so.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's like having that extra left-handed reliever in the bullpen that doesn't pitch all the time because you have other guys that do the job better than he does, but that guy's job that he does is pretty damn good. And if you can go get, you know, like a fifth-round pick in next year's draft and then somehow swindle that thing into a third-round pick on draft night, you know how Veach is with draft picks. He's like Bob Fesco when it comes to, you know, barbecue.
Dusty had something in there.
Veach, when he sees draft picks, is like Bob when he sees the calendar turn to Tuesday. Maybe
there
that's
you
better.
Go. There it works.
I just want to win.
Yeah, I'll say three words there. Suck it, haters. The whole time talking about no offensive line depth. We don't have any tackles. They're going to have to draft ninth overall. They need a tackle. Oh, wait, we're actually going to trade one because they have so much depth. Here's Isipole. Godric's looking good. I know Nate Taylor mentioned him in last night in his podcast, and I have him written down in my book about the undrafted free agent out of Indiana. Khalil Benson's playing with the twos, sometimes with the ones, getting reps right now. They have got.
And who's he again?
Khalil Benson, undrafted free agent out of Indiana.
And what does he play?
He's an offensive tackle.
Offensive tackle, okay.
Yeah, offensive tackle. All these guys are offensive tackles. And then obviously you've got Moore there as well. They've got bodies there, so I'd say suck it, haters.
Yeah, I love the fact that they're going to trade Wanya Morris and all the people who 17-0, 35-0, book it. It's happening. It's happening, guys. It's 17-0. It is happening.
From talking about tackles on the Chiefs to one on the Browns who retired and had a weird comment, or I don't know, you guys can come up with a word.
The Garden NFL. I was drafted the same year as Johnny Manziel, and we actually roomed together. I learned some things not to do from him.
That was awkward silence there. That was offensive tackle Joel Bitonio.
That was pause for laughter, and nobody laughed.
No one laughed.
Like, was that at a press conference? Was he were there people
that was
in the crowd?
Retiring press conference. So it's media.
So it's just media.
But like, still, you get a petty laugh.
I would have laughed. I thought that was hysterical. Hey, because I've heard some stories about Johnny Manziel over the years, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I think everybody has. But for him to say that, I room with Johnny Manziel, it's all about the delivery. Man, I room with Johnny Manziel my first year. I'll tell you, I learned more about what not to do than what to do living with that guy. And then, you know, but he was nervous yesterday. Yeah. But I get that. It's funny. It's true.
Yeah, I don't know what his relationship is with Johnny Manziel, but that, my one word would be flat. That thing fell flat.
Yeah, it fell flat.
It just felt forced. Like, I don't know. It wasn't funny.
What if he said, hey, I know Deshaun Watson, too?
Watson, yes!
This did not fall flat to me. Algeria playing in Lawrence as their base camp site, and we've got now videos of people in Lawrence talking about Algeria. This is an old man and woman talking about the country and people of Algeria there in Lawrence.
Algeria, and what's the idea you have about Algeria? So, I want to say thank you to
Team Algeria for choosing our hometown, Lawrence, Kansas, to come here. And so welcome. Welcome to United States. Welcome to Kansas.
Okay. What do you know about Algeria? And what do you think make you to come to support Algeria?
So I came mainly because I was so happy that they chose our town for their base camp. And we just know Algeria is on the Mediterranean Sea, and then the south part is in the Sahara Desert. But and we know that you gained independence from France kind of around the time I was born. So we don't know too much, but we want to welcome you here.
Now, what about you?
Well,
what do you want to say about Algeria, and like, what do you have about idea about Algeria?
Well, yeah, the only idea I have is so far, everybody here has been very friendly and very welcoming, and I'm really glad Algeria is going to be here. And 1, 2, 3, vive l'Algérie.
Fun. They're so proud.
Yes.
They're so happy.
I loved it.
That is community pride right there. That's awesome. We don't care who's. They chose us. This is the coolest thing ever.
Cool.
Those are that's the mindset we all should have, right? This is cool. I love all this. And speaking of that, I just started following this guy on X this morning, and I encourage everybody to do it. It's at FreddyLA7, FreddyLA7, the number 7. This dude is from Germany and is documenting his American experience photo by photo, by tweet.
Yeah, I'm seeing it.
He's sending pictures from Chili's.
Dinner from Bucky's at 1 a.m.
Yes,
this guy's living the life.
Yes. Mac, find this guy and let's get him on the show.
All right.
He's been like, he's all over the South right now following the German team around. I mean, this is
awesome.
This is hysterical. So you've got to follow this guy on X at Freddy, FreddyLA7. LA and the number 7.
Doing it right now. See if I can message him.
Oh, man. First pitch to Cags. And he drills it high in the air. Deep right center field. Headed for the fountains. It's a splashdown. Jack Caglione's second home run of the game.
One word is hard. Is for me there.
I know that I'm hard.
What a scene.
His other tweet. The only thing I've eaten today is a chicken sandwich at Walmart.
Ooh, that's tough. You don't have to do that at Maloney's today,
stinky.
Because at Maloney's on a Wednesday, you get the Italian chopped salad, romaine lettuce, tossed Italian dressing topped with salami, cucumber, cherry tomatoes, red onions, chickpeas, Kalamata olives, peppercini, and Parmesan cheese. It's $17 at Maloney's. Don't forget, any drink special they offer during the week is available all day. It's a great deal. And one word is brought to you by Maloney's, the Sand Trap, and the Landing. They're all three great local spots of delicious food, cold drinks, TVs galore to watch all your favorite sports teams. They all have outdoor patio seating as well to enjoy the wonderful weather when the evening hits. Coming up next, who would have been your Paul Skeens? A cool story of doing nice things for people because you know for a damn fact.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Change those kids' lives, what he did yesterday or the day before. We'll talk about it next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
Every Hardee's is closed.
Well, that sucks.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan. You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.